Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you all, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now may God and the Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that we may establish in your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Do you ever struggle with doubt? You know, I ask that honestly because this scripture lesson that we just read is pretty hard to swallow. Jesus descending on a cloud as the entire world watches. The idea of it is completely outside our realm of experience. So you have to ask the question, will it really happen? You know, Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't true. In other words, a lot of us give lip service to having faith in ideas like Jesus will return, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when it gets right down to it, Mark Twain suggests that a lot of us don't really think it's true. I mean, why would we? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to believe. You You know, some of you are going to Kevin Sally's great class that is asking and answering the question, why should I believe Scripture? If you're not going to that class, I recommend it. But I'm raising the issue of doubt this morning because this particular prophecy seems so unbelievable, especially when you read about Jesus returning to earth on a cloud. But even more challenging, maybe the insurmountable hurdle here, is verse 32, where it says, "Truly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place." Well, the generation he was talking to passed away a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. Hebrews 11:1 describes faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So where does assurance and conviction come from? Well, Ephesians 2:8-9 make it clear that faith is a gift conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit. So does assurance and conviction involve faith that's separate from truth? Not for the Apostle Paul. When Paul defended his faith in 1 Corinthians 15, he argued that Jesus rose from the dead by presenting evidence. In other words, he defended his faith based on facts, on truth. You never heard Paul say, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Never. Instead, Paul defended his faith with evidence. So what about this prophecy from Jesus that he'll descend from heaven on the clouds on the last day? Is there any evidence that it will actually happen? Well, let's look carefully. What we read a few minutes ago was the last in a series of prophecies Jesus made just days before he was crucified. Earlier in Luke 21, verses 12 to 18, Jesus prophesied something else. "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your enemies will be able to contradict." Well, up to that point, the apostles of Jesus had not experienced much persecution. But within days after the death of Jesus, what Jesus prophesied began to happen. The persecution began. The followers of Jesus went into hiding, fearing for their lives. And within the year, Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council of 70, the same people who'd arranged the crucifixion of Jesus. And the prophecy of Jesus played out. You can read it right in Acts 4. "When the members of the ruling council saw the boldness of Peter and John and saw that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they had nothing to say in opposition. Just as Jesus had prophesied, 'I will give you a mouth and wisdom none of your enemies can contradict.' Jesus also prophesied, 'You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death, but not a hair on your head will perish.' Well, all that happened also. Though we don't know the details of the lives of all the apostles, many were rejected by family and peers. Paul, for example, had come from a family of Pharisees, and Pharisees were adamantly opposed to Jesus. Most of the apostles were martyred. Both Peter and Paul were killed in Rome around 66 AD. And the reliable Jewish historian Josephus reported that James, the son of Alphaeus, one of the apostles, was stoned and clubbed to death in Syria. Tradition has it that Thomas was speared in territory now part of India. The point is that Jesus' prophecy in Luke 21 regarding the apostles came to pass. Shortly after Jesus was crucified, it came to pass exactly as Jesus had described it. And then it gets even more interesting. In Luke 21, Jesus also said, in verses 20 to 24, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know its desolation has come near." Those words were absolutely shocking to those standing around Jesus listening to him. The armies? The destruction of Jerusalem? Jerusalem was not at war. And then Jesus said, "Let those in the countryside flee to the mountains. Let those in Jerusalem get out. Let no one enter it. Alas for women who are pregnant or nursing infants in those days. There will be great distress and wrath among these people. They'll be killed and led captive among all nations." So here's what happened 40 years later. We have an excellent detailed record written by the Jewish historian Josephus again, who was an eyewitness to these events. In the year 70 AD, the Roman general Titus and his army laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. No one could enter, no one could leave. It went on for months. Inside the city, people ran out of food. People were starving and started killing each other for food. Some began trying to escape at night. If they were wealthy, they'd swallow their gold coins, lower themselves down one of the walls surrounding Jerusalem, and then run. It didn't take long for the Roman army to figure out what was going on. So every night when these escapees were caught, the first order of business was to slice them open, looking for gold. Eventually, there was a breach in the wall surrounding Jerusalem, and the Roman army poured in, and the siege was over. The vast majority of the residents of Jerusalem were already dead. The rest were sold as slaves into countries around the Mediterranean basin. Just as Jesus prophesied, they were killed and led captive among all nations. Here's the point of all this. These prophecies of Jesus regarding what would happen to his own closest followers and then what would happen to Jerusalem were shocking and absolutely preposterous to those listening as Jesus spoke. But happen they did, down to the details. So what about that last prophecy in Luke 21 about Jesus returning in the clouds? Well, Jesus missed on that one, didn't he? He said, "This generation will not pass away until all has taken place." And the generation listening to him speak passed away a long time ago. Here's the deal. Jesus wasn't referring to them. He wasn't referring to that generation. Jesus was referring to the people who will be alive to witness the frightening events associated with the last day, which hasn't happened yet. Jesus' words were intended as an encouragement to those people who will be alive then, when there are signs in the heavens and distress on the earth. The message to that generation is, Jesus will return very soon. Hang on. That generation isn't going to have time to pass away before Jesus returns. So the bottom line, when it comes to these prophecies of Jesus, even this outrageous prophecy of Jesus returning in the clouds, we have good reason to believe it. All the other unlikely prophecies came to pass. Why wouldn't this one? And when he returns someday, all of us who fight a losing battle against our own sinfulness All of us afflicted with shame or haunted by sorrow, all of us who are dogged by our own failures, all of us who fear the future, or us who look to the past with regret, all of us, me and you, you'll lift your head and see Christ in his scarred, pierced, and resurrected body coming to save you. Because you are forgiven and loved and dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, even though sometimes these prophecies, particularly regarding the last day when Jesus returns, are frightening and seemingly just preposterous, hard to believe. But Heavenly Father, you have been faithful to us all along. And the prophecies of the prophets, and particularly the prophecies of Jesus, have always come true. Give us faith to believe that those that have not come true will come true. Not to frighten us, but to encourage and calm us as we understand that our lives are in your hands and that you love us and will never leave or forsake us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.